talking about organics these days, but the man who started it all is right here. Here he is, author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with me when you hear somebody hang up is 866-444-3478. We talk about gardening, landscaping, pest control, all from the natural organic standpoint. We've been talking about a bunch of different things today and delighted to talk about whatever is on your mind, what you'd like to do. We started a contest situation a few weeks ago when we started the Natural Organic Certification course, the online course, and we were putting a photograph on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, and it goes down in the Instagram photographs. It'll be the one on the left-hand side, and I have chosen one for this week's contest, but I chose a plant that I looked at the entry, and there's a mistake in the on the library entry. We'll probably go ahead and put it on there before the end of the show today. If not, it'll be there later today. And the photograph is a mystery. You identify the photograph with an email if it's after the show. You can make a phone call if you know how to call us. But the easiest way is just send an email. You can do Ask Howard or info@dirtdoctor.com, either one. If it goes up, if you look at Facebook and you see the new photograph go up on the left side of Instagram there before we go off, and I'll tell you if I see it go up too. But if you see it, you can call on the show and tell me. The first one to do that wins the course and can take the course and become certified. The course is 15 chapters. You take it a chapter at a time. You have to take a test at the end of each chapter, pass 100%, and at the end you get the certification from the Texas Organic Research Center. So that's how all that works. Let's see if anything else I needed to cover. Don't think so. We're right back to the phones. Let's go to Flora in Cleburne, Texas. Hi, Flora.
Good morning.
How are you? Thanks for holding so long.
Oh, that's fine. I'd like to thank you for your fire blight cure for the Asian pear. It's still this year. It hasn't come back, and I'm very thankful for that.
Well, that's great. What are you using, the hydrogen peroxide or the whole sick tree treatment?
I believe it was the whole sick tree.
Okay, great. I'm glad it's working for you. Asian pears are the most delicious fruit in the world, but they're a little tricky to grow without that sick tree treatment.
Yeah, they're doing great. The other questions I have three quick questions. One of them is on our grapes. One of the plants has some rust spots on the leaves, if that was anything I need to be concerned about.
You get some galls on grape leaves. People that make grape leaves, the dish grape leaves, you know, probably are the ones that would have the biggest problem with that. Spraying the Garrett juice on a real regular basis, if that's been a problem on the leaves, is what you would do. To be honest, it's more of a cosmetic thing than a real serious problem. So you can get rid of it by just spraying a little bit more often with Garrett juice and maybe a little garlic pepper tea, maybe even a little hydrogen peroxide in that spray, but you don't have to do it.
Okay, thank you. And my other question, one of them was on our flowers. We have some flowers in our garden, and I wanted to know a good organic, what do they need? Is just the compost and the manure and the lava sand and green sand, is that good enough, or do I need to be giving flowering things something more?
Well, basically, one of the nice things about the organic program is basically we feed everything the same way. And the reason for that is that we're feeding the soil, not the plants. On the other hand, as I've mentioned to a caller, you may have missed us talking about it, the one organic product that will help set buds and create flowering better than anything that I recommend is the Garrett juice formula. So be sure to have that in your mix, and you'll probably have as good a flowering production as you can possibly have.
Nice. Thank you. One more question is,
sure.
My onions, something is eating in my beets, and my Swiss chard came from the bottom. It literally ate the root of the chard, ate the onion, and was pulling the tops down into the hole. And I was wondering what it could be and what I should do about it.
It sounds like an animal. You don't have sandy soil by any chance, do you, Flora?
Yes, I do.
You do? I'm afraid you may have gophers.
Okay.
Have you seen the mounds anywhere?
Yeah, there are mounds in the yard, huh?
Okay. There's a product on the market that is back on the market that I didn't realize. It's great. It's called Gopher Scram. The company is called Mole Scram, and they make Mole Scram, Gopher Scram, Rabbit Scram, all these different scrams. And they have a Gopher Scram that is just terrific. If you can find a feed store or a garden center that has it, and if not, you can buy it online because they are back in business. We just didn't know it.
What is it? Is it powder
It's a repellent that has organic ingredients in it, and all of the repellents have a little bit different ingredient. This fellow that came up with it did something really, really creative. He came up with a mixture of things that function as a repellent, not by creating a bad smell. He came up with an odor that puts a fear of danger in the animal. You see what I mean? It doesn't stink. They actually smell pretty good. But for some reason, he figured out how to create a danger reaction in the animal, and that's why they work so well. I was delighted to hear that they're back on the market. They've got a deer scram and several different ones. The only one that he tried that didn't seem to work very well is snake scram, because it doesn't. There's no repellent that seems to work on snakes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you were very helpful. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too, bye-bye. Flora. Thanks for calling. Good to talk to you. Let's go next to Kevin, Rockford, Illinois. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, Howard.
What's
okay,
up?
I have a question. I have a new lawn.
Okay.
It's underneath a very large old maple tree, and I haven't been able to grow grass there in decades. Anyway, so I got new grass starting. It's all fenced in, okay, and it's maybe an inch to 2 inches tall now. But my question is, seeing that I never had a healthy lawn there, should I let this grow all year to get a healthy root, or give it a nice mow after a while?
Okay, Kevin, we need to talk here. If you got a great big old maple, what do you got, a sugar maple?
I don't know what kind it is, but I'm sure it is.
Regular maple, pretty in fall,
maple.
Probably sugar maple. You can grow grass or you can grow trees. The trees win that battle. If you've got real heavy shade, you're not going to grow grass very, very well there. What'd you plant, bluegrass or fescue?
I got a mixture. All kinds of grass.
Okay, that's fine. Now, your cool season grasses will do better in shade than the warm season grasses that we deal with here in Dallas. But even there, the turf really needs more direct sun than it gets under a great big old heavy shade tree. You got the shade as a problem. You also have the roots of the tree as a problem. So
great.
To answer your question, go ahead and start mowing and fertilize with organic fertilizers and try to grow the grass as best you can. But if the shade and the roots keep knocking the grass out, you may have to at some point bite the bullet and say, I need to plant ground cover instead of grass.
Yeah.
Or put a mulch under the tree. The ground covers that you might look at are things like Pachysandra and the ivies and things that can take the shade. But it's very difficult to grow good, healthy turf in heavy shade. You just can't do it.
Yeah, I'm finding that out.
Yeah.
All right, sir.
Give it a whirl, and if you have to, go the ground cover route and, put in some decomposed granite and some mulch and some maybe some basalt and something, and have a decorative hard surface kind of a thing, maybe some ferns and some shrubs and ground covers that can take the shade and create a beautiful situation, just a different direction.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Yeah, that's our next route anyway.
Okay. Thanks
right,
for
well,
calling.
Thank you very much, sir.
Bye. Talk to you later, Kevin. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. As I mentioned, the website, dirtdoctor.com, we do have a members area on there. Check that out while you're there as well.
XO Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor eliminator air freshener. It's non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try XO Odor Neutralizer. XO has an exclusive offer just for Dirt Doctor listeners. An 8-ounce pump spray and a 16-ounce refill bottle for only $19.98 with free shipping. Go to exocorp.com/dirtdoctor or call 800-442-9696.
Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. You can buy it in bags or bulk. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752 or go to AmericanRio.com.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow. With Bonnie.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dirt Doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
A smooth flowing bloodstream is vital to good health. And one of the keys to maintaining that smooth flow is Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Kyolic accelerates circulation, revitalizes cells, and keeps blood platelets from sticking to each other or to artery and capillary walls. You see, the body produces an amino acid called homocysteine. If left unchecked, high homocysteine levels can become a serious health risk. Today, many health experts believe that homocysteine is more of a risk factor than cholesterol. And Kyolic is the only garlic supplement patented to reduce homocysteine levels, a major risk factor for arteriosclerosis and coronary heart disease. In fact, Kyolic is the only aged garlic extract. So get traffic moving smoothly along all your major arteries. Look for Kyolic. You'll find it where quality nutritional supplements are sold.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Looks like it may be after the show when we get the next contest photograph up. So whenever you see it, I'll give you a hint. It's a tree, and it's got some fruit on it, and it's a tree that is probably the best specimens I've ever seen in Texas or at the Alamo. Give you a clue about it, but it probably won't be up for you in Instagram on dirtdoctor.com over there on the left hand side until after this show. If you can identify it with an email, the first one, you'll win the natural organic certification course. The value of that's $195, by the way, is what we're talking about there. Here is David in Navarro County. Hey, David.
How's it going, Professor Dirt?
Well, it's going pretty well. What can I do for you?
Well, I've got a low-growing native plant that I'm trying to identify that's in my flower beds. It looks similar to a jade plant. It's got some, the leaves aren't as fat, and it makes a little small yellow flower on it.
You have a contest, too. Well, are you going to give me a prize if I identify it for you?
Well, I'll definitely give you a gold star. How about that?
Well, I bet I know what it is. If it's kind of low-growing and has fleshy leaves and has little yellow flowers, it's probably portulaca or purslane. A native purslane would be a better term for it. And it is kin to the portulacas and purslanes that are sold in the nurseries that have more colorful flowers. It is a herb. It is. It has medicinal value. It's very tasty in salads and a good plant. Most people consider it a weed and kill it, and it's easy to kill if you want to do that. You can hoe it out. It'll have one connection point root right in the center, but it is an edible plant, and I tend to let it grow at my place.
Well, and that was the next question there. Would it be a good green mulch for around my peppers and tomatoes?
It's not bad at all because it's not real aggressive. It wouldn't compete with those other plants, and I think that would be good. It'd be a very good plant to have in the vegetable garden.
Okay. All right, then. I've got one more question here.
Right.
I got some sapling trees, from the Arbor Society, and a couple of years ago, I've dug a ditch and kind of put them down in there, kind of healing them in, I guess what you'd say there. And I've left them there for 2 years here now, and they've all, you know, I've got trees up about 8 foot tall now, red buds and crepe myrtles, and what I'm trying to figure out is the best way I can separate those when I get around to doing it.
Are they in containers, or are they bare-rooted in this healing in process?
Well, they're in the soil, the garden there.
Okay, but they're not in
ditch and just kind of. I just dug a ditch and you know, a little small trench okay. there and kind of laid them down in the trench and let them go from there.
Okay, but they're not in containers.
That's correct.
Okay. You can take them out and hydrate the roots and plant them bare-rooted. This is probably the worst time to do it when you've got new young foliage coming out in the spring. It would be better to wait until it's really hot in the middle of the summer. Or even better, wait and do it in the fall, David. And if you did it in the fall, you could pull them out, soak them in water, separate them. They're probably going to be tangled together. Soak them in a big wash tub or in a, you know, watering trough container or whatever you can use. And that'll hydrate them and allow you to separate the roots, and then you can plant them bare-rooted, and you probably won't lose a plant. You probably have 100% success.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good plan. That's about all I got this morning.
Thanks for calling me, David.
I appreciate it. Bye.
Back to you later. Let's go to Dolly in Balch Springs. Hello, Dolly.
Good morning. I have a pear tree with fire blight. Apparently, this is about the third year of the fire blight. I had an arborist come by a few days ago. He's non-organic, and he did say it is definitely fire blight. This tree is about 20 to 25 feet tall. I cannot reach the, you know, I cannot reach it with a spray or anything because I'm too short to do that. This okay. tree also has the root flare problem, and I had been working on that down on my hands and knees, you know, digging with a little hand trowel. How long does the fire blight last? I mean, I took some leaves off the tree and put it in the trash cart to be hauled off, you know, by the trash people. And then afterward, I thought, oh my gosh, if it's a bacteria, how long does it live? And am I contaminating other places? Help!
probably not. Once it's cut off the tree and exposed to air, the aeration and everything will probably neutralize the bacteria. You can control it, Dolly, with hydrogen peroxide. I'd mix the hydrogen peroxide into Garrett juice and spray, and that way you get foliar feeding benefit, and then the hydrogen peroxide part of the spray will knock the fire blight off. But you're going to have to hit the whole tree with it. So if you don't have a sprayer that sprays far enough, you're going to have to get one or hire a contractor or a nursery to come out and spray it for you.
Got it. Okay.
And if you cut the fire blight burned leaves off and treat those cuts with hydrogen peroxide, that'd be good. I don't know if you heard Flora call earlier, but she's been keeping fire blight off Asian pears with the overall sick tree treatment, which is what you're working on. Let me put you on hold if you had something else, because I got to run. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this. Until now, no university or school of any kind has offered a degree program or certification in the world of organic gardening, farming, horticulture, or agriculture. That's now changed with a brand new online natural organic certification course. The course is taught with 15 chapters of video instruction and includes 25-page study booklet. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the certification course banner.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs.
They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
With you, we were chatting off the air just a little bit more there about treating a tree that's got bacterial problems, and a couple of things came up that I wanted to pass on to everybody. She was talking to a tree care company, and it's a company I know, I've had some experience with in the past, and they told her not to expose the root flare, the trunk flare, whichever one you want to call it, now. That you should only do it in the fall or in the winter. And that's very frustrating. We talked about that at the seminar at Shades of Green in San Antonio with Bob and all his people quite a bit yesterday. There are people in the tree business that don't quite get it. We that are in the business of doing organics and doing this tree flare, root flare, I ought to just call it the flare work, do it on a 365-day-a-year basis. We do it every day. So anybody that tells you that it's the wrong time of the year to do flare work, you probably need to ease on down the road and get another arborist involved. They don't know what they're talking about. You can do it in the summer. You can do it in the spring. You can do it in the fall. You can do it in the winter. The only time it's a little messy, and we had a little bit of this in San Antonio yesterday. We got down to a water table and it was wet because it'd been raining so much. So if the soil's too wet, it's difficult to work the air spade, and or if you do it by hand. But other than that, there's no reason not to expose flares any day of the year. The other thing was she was talking about having worked with trying to work with some other arborists, some other landscape companies that even claimed to be organic, and she bought some trees from them, and they came out and they dug little bitty holes and put the trees in these little bitty holes. Well, even the good guys, even the organic people, sometimes the people on the crews think they know more than, you know, the people running the company, and that can be an issue. On the other hand, some of the people that run the companies don't quite get it. There are universities, some major ones in Texas, that still recommend digging a hole that's just big enough to get the tree ball down into, and that's horrible advice. The one of the most important things to do in planting a tree, and we cover this in great detail in the Natural Organic Online course, is to dig a wide, ugly hole. Ugly meaning rough-sided. It can be square, or it can be round and saucer-shaped. The key is rough and wide. So those roots, when you backfill with the soil that came out of the hole, the soil is aerated some, but it's the native soil, and those roots can get started and grow on out happily in that aerated native soil. We don't want smooth holes. We don't want small tree holes. We don't want deep holes. We want shallow holes, and set the true top of the ball above the ground grade, rake all the soil and bark and mulch and everything off, and get the flare, true flare, exposed. It'll be down in the container, whether it's balled and burlapped or in a plastic container or some other kind of container. Get the true top of the ball established. Dig the hole a little bit shallow of that dimension, so that when you set the tree in the hole or woody plant of any kind, that the crown is a little bit above the ground grade, and then slope the backfill soil up a little bit. Give it room to settle some, in other words, and you'll have tremendous success with your planting. When you run into somebody that doesn't do it right, tell them that this is how you want it done, or I'm going to get somebody else to do it. There are people out there that do it the right way. Kathy in South Missouri next up. Hey, Kathy.
Hi there. I have a problem. I have three trees, maple trees.
Uh-huh.
One is just a regular maple, about 5 foot, and it's in dirt already. But the other two are red young maples, about 3 to 4 foot, and they're still in a pot.
Okay.
And one of my cows got out.
Oops.
And she thought that tastes pretty good. So she just trimmed it for me completely. Now I got the red maples as like a stick.
Okay.
And it's got a few little leaves on it right close to the bark.
To the base, okay, close to the stem, the trunk.
The top is completely gone, and most of the sides are gone. And I'm wondering, I was going to plant them out in my front yard, and I don't know if I should maybe take them to the South 40 and hide them.
No, they'll come out and be okay, probably. I'd use the Garrett juice mixture as a root stimulator, put it in. The trees will probably come back, but you're going to have to keep Bossy away from the trees from now on, obviously, or, you know, it's just going to happen again. I had no idea that maples were so tasty to cows.
Must be. I mean, the big one that's in dirt, it was just beautiful. And she took the top off. They're all of them got the top off. So well, is it going to shape good, or is it?
Oh, they'll grow back out and be fine. And you can do some corrective pruning, and it'll be fine. Little trees like that are pretty durable. They might die. You never know, but the chances are pretty good they'll grow back. Just try to keep the animals away from them and do the organic fertilization. I think you'll be surprised how quickly they'll respond.
Oh, okay, because I was worried about putting them in my front yard, because that's why I bought the two red maples. I thought that looked nice in the front yard. And, of course, I guess my cow did, too.
No, that's just like some pretty poor pruning, and they'll come back without any trouble. If they don't right away, you'll know, and you can go ahead and make the change at that point and get some new trees.
Okay. When should I prune them at this point?
Don't prune them any now. Just see what comes out, and then you can prune to shape it and reestablish one of the shoots as the new dominant shoot. Even if it's growing out at an angle, it'll straighten itself up, and then you just trim away any of the dead and roughed up places made by the cow and the tree within a growing season. You won't even be able to tell it was damaged.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. That's just wonderful news. Well,
okay.
I sure thank you, and I love your program.
Thank you very much.
I really do.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Irving, Texas, home of the Cowboys, and talk to Peggy. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Howard. Hey, thanks for being there for us. I've got an unusual question. What do you know about dichondra?
Probably as much as anybody. Well, there's probably some people in California who know a lot more than me, but I know enough to tell you that I like it. I encourage its growth at my house. In fact, the people maintaining my place, I got a little angry with them not too long ago. I had it growing beautifully in the cracks between my big stone walkway. It's a stone-on-sand walkway, so I like things growing in the cracks, and dichondra is beautiful in that situation. Well, they used a weed eater and, you know, knocked a lot of it out, and it's having it's struggling a little bit to come back. In California, it's used as a replacement for turf, and it's highly valued. So it's considered a weed by a lot of people, but I don't really consider it a very bad weed. I like it a lot.
Well, I'm from Arizona, and I'm with you. And I couldn't believe it when I come here and they called it dollar weed.
Yeah, totally. That's a totally different plant.
But I've been here a few years. And I've got it going between my sidewalk and the street.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now my front yard and backyard, I have used dry molasses and compost for a long time now, years and years.
Good.
But between the street and the sidewalk, I really haven't put it out there. And I've got the dichondras, but does dichondra need sun or shade? Seems to grow anywhere.
Yeah, it grows in both pretty well. The only place it wouldn't grow well would be in really heavy shade.
Okay.
And it doesn't like a whole lot of water, and it doesn't like real heavy fertilization. Responds to the organic fertilization program beautifully, though, and that's probably why you're seeing it doing as well as it does. It's a little bit tough to grow it in a great big area. It tends to do better in smaller spots, but that's just been my personal experience. You might do better with it there than I do in Dallas.
Okay, so do you think I should go ahead and put some dry molasses and compost on that?
Yeah, I'd do light fertilization. Just maybe cut the rates in half. Use 10 pounds per 1,000 instead of 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and it'll take sun or shade and cold?
Oh, yeah. Oh. No problem there.
Because I thought, heck, if I do that in that area, I can plug it and use it other places. And it doesn't have to be mowed.
That's exactly right. It stays nice and low. That's one of the great advantages of it. Do what you're doing and keep me posted. You are on the right track.
Okay, I want to ask you. I have a small Japanese maple. It's in a pot. And it has like a bare root that comes out like a little chair. And it sticks out of the ground maybe an inch and a half. But I kind of cover it, but then when I water it, gets uncovered. Should I worry about it or not?
Shouldn't worry about it and just leave it exposed.
Okay.
That's natural, and we like for that flare in the crown of the plant to have exposed stuff like that. If you don't like the way it looks, you can prune it away. It won't hurt the tree at all, but it'll help the tree probably just to leave it there for now.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much, and thanks for being there.
Appreciate the call.
All righty.
Let's check in with Maggie, KOMT in Arkansas. Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We were at, wanted to know more about the cedar and using the cedar chips. We do not have access to that, but we build cedar furniture.
Oh, good.
And so could we use the planings and the sawdust?
Yeah, you can if it's fine enough texture to not be a problem how it looks. That'd be the only thing. But any kind of cedar will function the way I recommend, you know, to help repel fleas and ticks and things like that. If you have some way to grind it into a even finer texture, it works better than if it's big shavings.
Right. Well, it's usually not big shavings, and the sawdust is a powder anyway.
It'll work fine to apply direct, or you can mix it into the compost pile and makes a wonderful ingredient there.
Right. What about how much per acre?
Oh, you can put out as much as you want on an acreage. Let me talk to you off the air. I've got to run a minute. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
As consumers in the 21st century, we are truly fortunate to have an abundance of choices in our daily lives. But when it comes to digestive health, there should only be one choice. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, easily recognizable in the bright green box on your retailer's shelf. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics stands out among all others. Never freeze-dried, but always live and viable due to a unique 3-year fermentation process, award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics provides the restorative balance needed to support your own exclusive probiotic fingerprint. And that is very important, as no two of us are alike. With over 30 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics takes digestive and wellness support to a whole new level. So look for the bright green box on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
To turn any space into a garden, it's easy with SmartPot. It's a fabric container that's portable, foldable, reusable, 100% BPA-free, provides better drainage than ceramic or clay pots, releases heat and prevents soil compaction and even circling roots. A really big deal. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to SmartPots.com. That's SmartPots.com.
Farms and greenhouses throughout America rely on BioSafe systems for healthier plants and better yields. You too can enjoy longer blooms and better results in your own backyard and garden with BioSafe weed control, disease control, and plant food. BioSafe Systems believes products should be effective and safe for use around pets, children, and wildlife. Our products are certified organic, so you can feel good about using them in your own backyard. Visit us online today at www.biosafe.net to learn more. BioSafe Systems, simply sustainable, always effective.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow, spelled with a K, .com.
Black Cow,
the mature manure. Black Cow.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with garage juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Well, the birds flew right in by me, and I didn't notice them or hear them. Sorry about that. We've got some interesting news. The contest photograph is up. Yoga Mike got it put up, and we've got somebody that already wants to guess what the picture is. James in Weatherford, Texas. Hey, James.
Hello. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Can you identify that interesting tree?
Well, is it? Oh, it's a tree.
As a matter of fact, I mentioned it was a tree.
Okay, I was seeing the picture. I guess it was from before of the umbrella grass.
Oh no! Yeah, that's why I was saying it wasn't up. The one that's up now has some fruit on it, and it's a tree. I'm sorry, you must have missed my note on that.
Okay. Well, can I take a wild guess without seeing it?
Yeah, you don't have your computer up. It'd have to be a very wild guess.
Is it jujube?
No, it's not.
Okay, that was just a wild guess.
Well, thanks, James.
Okay, well, thank you.
It's on there now, though, if you want to take a look and call us back real quick, or if anybody does. Let's see, Emmy in Mountain Home, Arkansas. Hello, Emmy.
Hello. I enjoy growing things, and I really enjoy your program. You've really taught me a lot.
Well, thanks.
I bought some oranges, and they were called juice oranges. They looked real natural. They didn't look like that bright orange, like they were dyed. And I planted some of the seeds, and one of them has came up, and the leaves are absolutely beautiful. Like, there was two little shoots come out of the same seed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, is there any way that I can let that little tree go and make a miniature out of it?
Sure.
Do you know how I would do that, where I could get instructions on how to make a miniature instead of letting it? Because I,
well, the way you make a miniature tree is you bonsai it, and you do that by cutting the roots. There are plenty of websites and information on the internet about how to do that. Basically, you do a pretty dramatic pruning to the root system, some of the larger roots, and leaving some of the smaller roots, and thereby creating a dwarfed plant. You have to do a little pruning to the top of the plant as well. But there's real good websites with photographs and all kinds of good information on the internet for you.
And what is that actually called?
bonsaiing it, you're creating a dwarf plant.
Can you spell that for me?
I can't spell anything. You're asking the wrong person. It's bonsai or something close to that. Bonsai or bonsai, some people say.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
really
good luck with your little plant.
Thank you.
All righty. By the way, every part of a citrus is edible or herbal. You know, the flowers can be used in teas. The foliage can be used in teas. And, of course, the fruit, the rind of the fruit, and of course, the fruit. So it's a good thing to do to grow the citrus plants. And one more time, the contest photograph is up. The one he mentioned that looked like an umbrella plant was the last week's contest, and that one was not an umbrella plant. It was actually a palm called needle palm. Needle palm gets its name from these intense needles that are down in the crown of the plant. It's one that's extremely cold-hardy. It'll grow almost anywhere in the country, needle palm. The current contest to win the course, the Natural Organic Certification course, is a tree. And I'll repeat my clue. These trees are very dominant at the Alamo in San Antonio. And for people saying, well, I'm not in San Antonio, how's that going to help me? We've got photographs on the website, and we've got information in the travel area. And if you look at information on the internet about the Alamo, these trees will be talked about. They're big, and they've been there a long time. Bryant in Dallas next up. Hey, Bryant.
Yes, Howard. Just a second. Let me get off my your phone.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I was wondering, I got a lot of, a couple of things I'd like to ask, but we got time. One is about the pecan blooms I'm getting. I got three pecan trees, and I come up with several bags full of actual pecan blooms. And I was wondering how that would work as putting around the plants to keep moisture in there.
Yeah, it's a great mulch. Somebody just sent me a photograph and had a question about trimming some roots that were coming off of the flare, and there were pecan flowers laying all over the ground around this tree. So you can leave them right where they fall. That doesn't create a problem at all. You can gather them up and use them as a mulch somewhere else, and they can also go in the compost pile.
Okay, very good. And also, I got a little problem, I guess. I don't know if they're my other nursery said that they're too old, I need to pull them up. I got some broccoli, and it's making pretty good head, but it's still, and it's got little white bugs all over it too, and they're eating the leaves pretty severe. So is it really too hot for them to be surviving? Or?
Well, once it gets hot, they start bolting, and they're still edible. The leaves are edible to the broccoli, and the small heads are edible. In addition to the large heads, once you cut the small heads, small ones will form. But when it starts getting hot, it starts getting in stress, bolting. You'll see various insects. Just knock them off with soapy water or spray or something like that, hydrogen peroxide, and keep eating the broccoli. Let me put you on hold if you had one more question for me. I got to run. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I've enjoyed being with you very much. Enjoy your gardens out there, everybody. Try to spend a little time in the garden, among other things. And don't forget to feed and water the birds. I'll see you next time.